I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. 2008 will go down in history as the year that we humans became a majority urban species. A century ago, most people lived in rural areas and worked on the land. Now, for the first time ever, more than 50% of the world's population lives in cities. A new book examines how we got to this point. It's called The Endless City. The book describes the urban sprawl of New York, Shanghai, London, Mexico City, Johannesburg, and Berlin. Ricky Verdette and Diane Sujic co-edited the volume. Sujic says lots of factors contribute to a city's growth and evolution. He explains that in the case of Johannesburg in South Africa, one of those factors was apartheid.
Johannesburg was built as a gold rush city in the way that maybe Melbourne or San Francisco were, but it was built as a city in which only white people were acknowledged to exist. And its apartheid suburbs weren't even really suburbs at all. They were specifically designed to make urban life impossible so that black people were there only to labor and then were returned to where it was claimed they came from. And a post-apartheid South Africa is really having to come to terms with how you make sense of a city that's built in that way. It's changed very, very fast, but it's lost its downtown, which has migrated completely from the city centre. It's an extraordinary mixture of both of vitality and possible negative things, such as gated communities, affluent flight are there, magnified like some sort of hothouse.
And the fact that the city centre of Johannesburg became a ghost town, what does that have to do with apartheid?
There was the donut effect, which many cities were going through in the 60s and 70s, which did leave people to move to the edges. But I think apartheid accentuated this process by an even more tense standoff between the haves and the have-nots.
Let's take another city that is a part of your study, Mexico City. Quickly, in the 1940s, it had a population of about 1.5 million. Today, close to 20 million inhabitants. And I think one of the big problems that you cite is the fact that the average commute to work is 2.5 hours each day for people who are living in a lot of those outlying regions. So who is living in this sprawl zone that Mexico City really seems to have as its trademark?
The people who are moving into Mexico City, like many other of these globalizing cities,
this is Ricky Verdette,
tend to be people who, until a relatively short time ago, were working in farms and in agricultural land. And the amount of money that they are getting on a day rate is dwindling. And therefore, the prospect of coming to the city is that it's an opportunity and start the upward spiral of improving your life. And many of them come to Mexico City in particular from outlying areas and act as street vendors. But they sell on the streets of the downtown area anything from rubber ducks to cigarettes. Many of the T-shirts they sell, of course, are made in China. Which is an interesting irony that even the informal sector takes part in the globalization process. So that is the phenomenon you see today in Mexico City as it literally sprawls beyond the edges. By the way, our image as editors of this book, which gave the title The Endless City, comes from an aerial view of Mexico City, which just sprawls so far onto the horizon that you just don't know where it stops. It's a city without a skin.
A third of the six cities you focus on is Berlin. Berlin has 3.5 million people. Half of the population lives alone, which is an extraordinary statistic. 50% of the land occupied by buildings was destroyed during World War II. Now, we talked about cities that are growing at a very fast rate. Berlin is actually the opposite. It's shrinking.
Berlin has had to come to terms with the European phenomenon of an aging population, an atomized population, which tends to live alone, as you said. It's also had to deal with a rush of irrational exuberance, one might say, over the reunification when it was felt that suddenly Berlin was going to start to grow to become the capital of Middle Europe, and that hasn't happened. And what Berlin is now doing is trying to find itself a future as what its mayor described as being poor but sexy. If you're an artist or a writer, you can get a really cheap, high-ceilinged, great apartment in the center of a city.
You know, you drive around.
This is Ricky Verdette.
Walk around parts of Berlin today, and you see 4 or 5-story apartment blocks. I think it has the potential of becoming once again a vibrant place. The other side of the coin is what worries me. When you think of, in fact, some of the American cities like Detroit, which have suffered from inner city decline, You walk around it or drive around it mainly, and you see parking lots and tarmac. It's like looking at a mouth with some missing teeth. There you begin to despair about how you actually can redevelop and bring those places back to life. Berlin has a degree of that, but nothing as severe as some of the more dramatic excesses that one has seen either in Johannesburg at the moment, but many American cities over the last 30 years.
If you read between the lines in The Endless City on the chapter on Berlin, it almost sounds like part of the solution for Berlin is hipness. When you talk about people moving into these loft apartments, is that what you kind of allude to, the kind of notion of hipsters saving the city?
I think the problem with cities is that there are too few remedies in search of a lot of problems. Once somebody has an idea somewhere about the future of a city, it tends to communicate itself like wildfire, like some kind of communicable disease, that every city wants its Bilbao Guggenheim effect, every city wants its Bohemian Quarter, every city wants the Olympic Games. And of course, there is no real one answer.
Ricky Verdet, as a model for how cities can be and just your personal favorite, what's your favorite city in the world?
I would have to go for a mixed equation here. I would want to see a city which has the beauty of Rome. I think I would look for the cosmopolitanism that London now has in this mythical mixed city.
Dejan Sajic, your favorite city?
Listening to Ricky, the words of President Kennedy come to mind, in which he described Washington as a city of northern charm and southern efficiency. I think we all grow up with an idea of what cities should be like based on the one in which we were brought up. And for me, it's very hard to get away from the mental map of London. For me, London does have an interesting mixture of the intensely urban and the village-like quality of some of its suburbs. It seems to marry the both of those kind of cities. For me, successful cities are the ones which do offer their citizens the widest degree of choice and the chance to ignore each other if they want to.
Dejan Sajic is the director of the Design Museum in London. Ricky Verdet is Centennial Professor in Architecture and Urbanism at the London School of Economics. They are the co-authors of The Endless City, and they joined us both from London. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You can see photos from The Endless City at theworld.org.